All right, so you want to know the secret sauce for building a company culture that doesn't just, survive, but actually thrives? Well, we dove deep into Lumen's Cultivo framework. And let me tell you, these consultants, they're doing things a little bit
A
differently.
little bit different,
They've got this unique approach that's rooted in Judeo-Christian values. And honestly, it might surprise you a little bit. We're
Definitely.
talking about website excerpts on creating that positive culture, managing negativity, the power of listening, even some really thought-provoking stuff about intellectual and emotional violence.
Whoa.
So get ready, because we're going to rethink everything you thought you knew about building a high-performing team.
Yeah, what's fascinating is that Lumen's been around for over 20 years, and they don't just focus on the bottom line. They
Oh,
really
no.
help businesses build teams that are positive, innovative, collaborative, and accountable. So it's not just about success, it's about creating that sustainable culture where everyone thrives.
Okay, but here's the thing that really got me, okay? Lumen completely flips the script on mistakes. They see them as growth opportunities, not something to be scared of or like punished for. Have you ever worked somewhere where like messing up was basically like the ultimate sin?
It's very common, unfortunately, but it totally stifles creativity and innovation.
Oh, for sure.
Lumen gets that. They build psychological safety into their framework, and they recognize that people need to feel secure to experiment and take risks, without fearing that they're going to be publicly humiliated. Just imagine the possibilities if everyone felt comfortable saying, "Hey, I messed up, but here's what I learned."
Exactly. It's like instead of hiding your mistakes, you're using them to like pave the way for future success. It's almost like a prophetic approach,
Oh, interesting.
like using past errors to inform future triumphs.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, it's not about dwelling on the mistake, it's about analyzing it, figuring out what went wrong, and then applying those lessons as you move forward.
So you're turning like oops moments into aha moments.
I love that. Oops, aha.
Which brings us to another like key element of their framework, acknowledging the wins.
Okay, this seems so simple,
Right.
but it's crazy how often it's overlooked. Lumen's all
Yes.
about giving credit where credit is due, always acknowledging the person who sparked the idea, even the seemingly small ones.
Totally.
It's not just about being nice, it's about fostering that culture of innovation and motivation.
It all ties back to intrinsic motivation. Think about it. When you feel valued for your contributions, you're naturally more engaged and invested in your team's success. It's not about those external rewards or punishments. It's that internal, I feel good because you know you made a difference.
So it's less about I'm doing this because I'm afraid of getting in trouble.
You
It's
good?
more about I'm doing this because I want to contribute. I want to be a part of something bigger.
That's it.
I like that.
And this mindset has to start at the top.
Lumen emphasizes that leaders have to be willing to admit their own mistakes.
Yes.
They need to model that vulnerability and accountability,
It's huge.
which can be so powerful.
Okay, think about it. Have you ever had like a boss or leader who owned up to a mistake? Didn't it like instantly make you respect them more?
Oh, for sure.
It's humanizing, it builds trust.
It does. It does.
But what happens when you have like a top performer who's also kind of a negative force on the team?
Interesting question.
Do you keep them because they, bring in the results, or do you prioritize the overall team's health? Like, how do you balance that?
This is where Lumen's framework gets really nuanced. They
Okay.
advocate for coaching and feedback as the first line of defense, right? So give that high performer a chance to course correct.
Right.
But if their negativity persists and it's actually harming the team, letting them go might be the best option, even if it seems kind of counterintuitive.
So sometimes to protect that culture that you've worked so hard to build, you have to make those tough decisions.
You do.
It's about balancing that individual talent with the well-being of the whole team.
Exactly. And this leads to one of the most, I think, thought-provoking aspects of Lumen's approach.
Okay, hit me with it.
They advocate for a guilt-based culture.
Wait, what?
Now, before you freak out, they're not talking about shame or self-flagellation.
Okay, good.
They're talking about guilt as a positive force,
Okay.
like a driver for self-reflection and accountability.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How does guilt become a positive thing? It's usually something we try to avoid.
It's all about understanding the difference between guilt and shame.
Yeah.
Guilt is internal.
Mm-hmm.
It's about realizing when you've messed up
right.
and taking responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Shame is external. It's that fear of being judged by other people.
So in a guilt-based culture, the focus is on like personal accountability and growth.
Exactly. And that can be a total game changer for innovation.
How so?
Think about it. If people are always afraid of being shamed for making mistakes,
right.
they're not going to want to experiment. They're not going to want to take risks.
Yeah, makes sense.
But if the culture emphasizes personal responsibility and learning from those mistakes, that's when you create the breeding ground for creativity and constant improvement.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
It's about fostering a culture where people feel safe being vulnerable.
Yes.
Admitting their shortcomings.
Exactly.
And they know they'll be supported, not condemned.
It's about trusting that everyone's doing their best
mm-hmm.
and is willing to learn from their mistakes.
Right. And that ties into another key part of Lumen's framework.
It does.
Deep listening.
Yes.
They're not just talking about like hearing words. They're talking about really engaging with what's being said.
Right.
Yeah. Analyzing ideas. Asking those like really thoughtful questions.
Absolutely.
Okay, but how does this actually work in the real world?
Good point.
We've all been in meetings where it feels like no one is really listening. Right. People are just like waiting for their turn to talk
mm-hmm.
or they've completely checked out.
Oh, really?
It's like the worst.
Lumen recognizes that and they give us a two-pronged approach.
Okay.
First, they emphasize critical thinking and communication. So it's about analyzing ideas,
right.
dissecting them,
okay.
making sure you actually understand what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
Second, they focus on reducing all those unproductive behaviors that like derail conversations.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
You know, judgment, gossip, negativity, complaining, excuses.
All the stuff that sucks the life out of a meeting.
It's like they've identified all the meeting monsters.
Oh, I love it.
And they're giving us the tools to slay them.
Yes.
But even with good communication, you sometimes hit a wall, right?
Oh, for sure.
So how does Lumen help teams push past those moments when, you know, the easy answers just aren't enough?
Yeah, the tough stuff.
That's where their embrace of contrarian thinking comes in.
Okay, I like this.
They actually have a Talmudic phrase for it. It's kainali, which means the opposite view.
Interesting.
Right.
I've never heard of that.
They challenge companies to actually seek out those dissenting opinions, look at problems from every single angle,
mm-hmm.
even if those angles seem kind of counterintuitive at first.
So it's not about being contrary just to be difficult.
No, no, no.
It's about like challenging assumptions and digging a little deeper to find those truly groundbreaking ideas.
You got it.
But there's a fine line between like that constructive dissent.
Yes.
And just being difficult, right?
Absolutely.
How does Lumen handle that?
They emphasize the importance of critical thinking and give us a framework for avoiding those common judgment traps.
Okay, I'm listening.
They have identified four main dangers.
Ooh, four. Okay.
That can trip us up. Grouping, conservatism in perception, the halo effect, and self-fulfilling prophecies.
Okay, those sound intense.
Yeah.
Let's break those down.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start with grouping. What is that all about?
Grouping is our tendency to oversimplify complicated information by forcing it into, you know, neat little categories.
Right.
So we're talking black and white thinking,
mm-hmm.
ignoring all those nuances.
Yeah.
Think stereotypes, making assumptions about people based on overly broad generalizations.
Right.
It's easy to do.
It is.
But it leads to bad decisions.
Yeah.
Because you're missing out on crucial information.
So, like, don't judge a book by its cover.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, next up, conservatism in perception.
Okay, lay it on me.
This is about clinging to old beliefs, even when there's new evidence suggesting we should change our minds.
Right.
It's that stubborn refusal to update our worldview, which can be a major roadblock to progress, especially in a world that's changing so quickly.
That's like refusing to, I don't know, upgrade your phone because you're so used to the old one, even though the new one has all these amazing features.
Perfect analogy.
Okay, I can relate to that.
Now let's talk about the halo effect.
Okay, halo effect.
This is when a positive overall impression of someone clouds your judgment of their specific traits or actions.
Okay.
For example, you might really admire a company and therefore overlook some of their flaws
yeah.
or downplay any negative news about them.
It's like putting them on a pedestal and refusing to see any of their imperfections.
You got it.
Okay, I see that.
So we're talking about being aware of our biases and making sure we're not letting our emotions cloud our judgment.
Right, makes sense.
What about that last one? self-fulfilling prophecies. It sounds kind of mystical.
It does, a little bit.
Right. It's the idea that your expectations about a person or situation can actually influence the outcome.
Okay.
If you think someone is going to fail, you might treat them in a way that makes them more likely to fail.
Right.
Or conversely, if you think someone is going to succeed, you might give them more opportunities and support, increasing their chances of success.
So it's like the power of positive thinking, but in reverse.
Right.
If you have negative expectations, you can actually create a negative reality. That's pretty deep.
It is. And it highlights how important it is to be mindful of our biases and assumptions.
For sure.
We all fall prey to these judgment traps sometimes.
We do.
But by being aware of them,
right,
we can make more objective and informed decisions.
Okay, so we've talked about Luhmann's philosophy on mistakes.
Yes.
Giving credit where it's due, and even making those tough calls when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But Luhmann also goes into these really interesting quick hits.
They do.
They can have a huge impact on how teams function.
Yes.
It's like they've distilled their wisdom into these, like, bite-sized nuggets.
Totally.
So good.
One of the first things they emphasize is the responsibility of learning.
Okay.
They believe that the listener should be actively engaged in making sure they understand what's being communicated.
Mm.
It's not the speaker's job to just keep repeating themselves.
So it's about taking ownership of your own understanding.
Exactly.
You don't just passively absorb information.
Right.
Engage with it, ask questions, make sure you're on the same page.
You got it.
And they also have a lot to say about making meetings more effective.
Oh, yeah.
Which, let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
We could all use a little help with that.
Definitely.
So, tell me, what's Luhmann's secret to a truly productive meeting?
They believe the key is to focus on the why, not just the what. Yeah. Don't just tell people what to do. Explain the reasoning behind it, the goals you're trying to achieve, how their contributions fit into the bigger picture.
Yeah.
It's about giving them context and purpose.
I like that a lot.
It makes sense, right?
It does. If you understand why you're doing something, you're more likely to be engaged and invested in the outcome.
Exactly.
What other, like, meeting magic does Luhmann have up their sleeve?
They have a rule that might surprise you.
Okay, hit me.
Never interrupt someone during a meeting.
Whoa.
It's bold, right?
That's bold.
Yeah.
But I can see how it would create a more respectful and inclusive environment.
Right.
Everyone gets their time to speak, their ideas are heard, and there's less chance of things going off the rails.
Exactly. It's about creating a space where everyone feels valued and respected. Which brings us to two more quick hits from Luhmann.
Okay.
Intellectual violence and emotional violence.
Ooh.
Now, these terms might sound a bit intense.
Yeah, a little.
But they're talking about these subtle but really pervasive behaviors that can damage a team's culture.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Break it down for me.
Right.
What do they mean by intellectual and emotional violence?
So intellectual violence, according to Luhmann, is when you impose your terms of reference on someone without negotiation.
Okay.
So you're basically saying, this is the way it is, and that's the end of the discussion.
Right. So you're shutting down dialogue and stifling any dissenting opinions.
Exactly.
It's like that boss who says, this is how we've always done it,
yeah,
and just refuses to hear any other suggestions for improvement.
Right.
Creates a culture of fear, where people are afraid to speak up or share their ideas.
Yes.
Which ultimately just kills innovation.
And then there's emotional violence.
Okay.
Which Luhmann defines as labeling people based on perceived intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Without actually understanding the full context.
Fine.
So it's basically saying, you did this because you're lazy.
Right, you're jumping to conclusions,
yeah,
making assumptions about someone's motives without giving them the benefit of the doubt.
I got it, and both of these behaviors can be so damaging to a team's morale.
Oh, absolutely.
They create an atmosphere of distrust and resentment.
Yeah.
Where people are afraid to make mistakes or express themselves freely.
This reminds me of Luhmann's idea of a guilt-based culture.
It's connected, yeah.
It might seem counterintuitive, but they see guilt as a positive force, like a driver for self-reflection and accountability.
That's a great point.
Right?
In a shame-based culture,
those
knee-jerk reactions and assumptions, they're way more likely to happen.
Makes sense.
Because people are so worried about being judged.
Right, totally.
But in a guilt-based culture, like Luhmann talks about, people feel safe admitting their mistakes. Yeah.
They take responsibility for their actions, so there's less need for those defensive mechanisms.
Okay, so it's not just about avoiding those negative behaviors.
Right.
It's about building an environment that actively encourages positive interactions.
Exactly.
And lets people be their authentic selves.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Welcome back. You know, we've already seen how Luhmann kind of challenges conventional thinking when it comes to mistakes and accountability and even like guilt.
Yeah, that whole guilt thing was pretty wild.
But they don't stop there.
Okay.
They've got a really fascinating perspective on sales training.
Sales? Really?
Oh, yeah. And you won't believe how it ties into this whole high-performance culture thing.
Okay, see, when I think of sales, I usually think of that, like, stereotypical cutthroat environment.
Right.
Where it's, like, everyone for themselves.
Yeah, every man for himself.
But Lumen seems to have, like, flipped the script on that, too.
Absolutely. Their approach is all about empowering sales teams to build real relationships with their customers.
Based on trust and mutual benefit.
So it's less about like closing deals at any cost.
Yeah.
And more about providing real value, creating those win-win situations.
Exactly. And they actually believe that this customer-centric approach not only leads to more sales in the long run, but it also makes it a more fulfilling and rewarding experience for both the salesperson and the customer.
I like that.
So imagine a sales team that genuinely enjoys helping people.
That's powerful.
Right. It changes everything.
But let's be real for a second. Sales can be tough. You're dealing with rejection all the time, competition.
Right.
You're constantly having to prove yourself. How does Lumen's approach like address those challenges?
They equip their clients with the tools and the mindset to like really handle those ups and downs of the sales world.
Okay.
So resilience is key.
Resilience.
They teach people how to see setbacks as opportunities to grow, learn from your mistakes, and stay motivated even when you're getting rejected left and right.
So it's about like building that inner strength, that unshakable belief in yourself and your abilities.
That's it.
I like it.
And they provide practical techniques for managing stress, staying focused, and keeping a positive outlook even when things get tough.
That kind of support, I could see how that would be invaluable in sales.
It is. It is.
It's so easy to get discouraged.
Totally.
But Lumen seems to offer a pathway to like really thrive even when it's challenging.
They do. And here's another key part of their approach, collaboration.
So collaboration, okay.
They recognize that sales is a team sport, right? It's not always just like the lone wolf going out there and closing deals.
Right.
They emphasize sharing knowledge, supporting each other, and celebrating those successes together.
So it's that sense of camaraderie, right?
Exactly.
Creating that culture where everyone feels supported and valued.
That's it. And this actually ties back to their proprietary customer relationship management system.
Okay.
Fusion CRM.
Fusion CRM.
It's designed to help sales teams streamline all their processes, track their progress, make smarter decisions.
Okay.
All while keeping that customer focus front and center.
All right. Tell me more about this Fusion CRM. Is it just like a fancy piece of software, or is there something like more to it?
It's definitely more than just software. It's like the embodiment of Lumen's sales philosophy.
Okay.
You know, building those long-term relationships, truly understanding your customers' needs, and providing like exceptional value.
So it's not just about automating tasks. It's about creating that more strategic, customer-focused approach.
Exactly. It's a tool that really supports their entire philosophy.
Got it.
Not just, you know, slapping on a Band-Aid.
Right, right.
And it's fully integrated with all of their training programs. So it's not just a standalone thing. It's part of a whole system for building that high-performance sales culture.
That's pretty impressive. They've really thought through every aspect of the sales process and how it impacts the work environment.
They have.
It seems like a far cry from that always be closing mentality that we usually hear about with sales.
Oh, yeah, it's totally different.
And I think that's what makes their approach so unique and so effective.
I agree.
They're not just teaching people like the tactics of selling.
Right.
They're teaching them how to build a business that's successful, but also sustainable.
Yes.
Profitable and fulfilling.
Absolutely.
They're showing that sales can actually be a force for good.
I love that.
For both the company and the customer.
It can be. It can be.
All right. So we've seen how Lumen tackles sales. But I want to go back to something we talked about earlier, something that's really fundamental to their whole approach, embracing those mistakes.
Yeah, it's huge.
Such a simple idea, but it's kind of revolutionary in a world that often punishes failure.
It is. We live in a culture that really stigmatizes mistakes, where people are so afraid to like take risks or try something new because they don't want to be judged or face those consequences. But Lumen argues that mistakes, they're inevitable.
Of course.
Especially when you're trying to do something new and innovative.
It's like they're giving people permission to be human.
Yes.
to learn and grow from their experiences mm-hmm. without that fear of being labeled a failure.
Exactly. And they actually give like practical strategies yeah. for creating a culture where people feel safe admitting their mistakes,
yeah.
asking for help, and using those experiences to get better.
So what are some of the benefits of embracing mistakes?
Good question.
Like, I can see how it reduces stress and anxiety, but are there other like tangible advantages?
For sure. For one, it fuels innovation. Yeah. When people aren't so afraid to mess up, they're more likely to experiment, take risks, and come up with those truly outside the box ideas.
Right, because they're not worried about the consequences.
Exactly. So it's about creating a culture of creativity where people feel empowered to explore new possibilities mm-hmm. without the fear of being shut down.
Okay, that makes sense.
Embracing mistakes also builds resilience.
Resilience.
When people learn to bounce back from those setbacks and use them as learning experiences, they become more adaptable, more confident, more persistent.
And that's so important mm-hmm. in today's world, right?
Yeah.
Everything is changing so fast. We need to be able to adapt and learn from our experiences.
We do.
And keep moving forward, even when we hit those roadblocks.
And it's not just about individual growth.
Okay.
It's about building better teams.
How so?
When people feel safe admitting their mistakes, it builds trust and transparency.
Right.
So they're more likely to communicate openly, collaborate effectively,
yeah.
and support each other through challenges.
So it creates an environment where people feel comfortable being vulnerable, admitting their weaknesses.
Exactly.
And they can ask for help without feeling judged.
It's about recognizing that we're all human.
Mm-hmm.
We all make mistakes.
We do.
And those mistakes can be valuable lessons
right.
if we approach them with the right attitude.
This reminds me of Luhmann's whole concept of a guilt-based culture.
Oh, it's connected, yeah.
It's like, it might seem counterintuitive, but they see guilt as a positive force
mm-hmm.
that pushes us to self-reflect and hold ourselves accountable.
It's a powerful connection when we make a mistake.
Yeah.
Guilt is often that like first emotion we feel mm-hmm. in a shame-based culture. That guilt can lead to self-doubt.
Right.
Self-criticism and that fear of taking risks.
Makes you want to just hide.
Yeah.
And not try anything new.
But in a guilt-based culture, like what Luhmann is talking about, that same guilt can be channeled into something good.
Yeah.
It pushes you to think about what happened, you learn from the mistake, and you commit to doing better next time.
So you take ownership of the mistake
mm-hmm.
and use it as like fuel for growth.
Yes.
Rather than letting it hold you back.
And that's where the power of embracing mistakes and that whole guilt-based culture thing really comes together.
It's all connected.
It is. Mistakes become opportunities,
mm-hmm.
not something to be ashamed of or punished for.
It's a total shift in perspective.
It is.
And that can be so liberating.
Absolutely. Both for individuals and for teams.
You know, I'm already feeling inspired to like rethink my own relationship with mistakes.
I love that.
It's time to ditch that shame and like embrace the growth potential.
Luhmann would be proud.
Ah, awesome.
Their whole framework encourages us to see mistakes not as these failures,
right.
but as data points.
Interesting.
As valuable feedback that helps us learn and get better.
I love that, data points.
Right?
What I find really interesting is how Luhmann weaves together all these seemingly separate ideas.
Yeah.
Like embracing mistakes, that guilt-based culture, deep listening, empowering sales teams.
Mm-hmm.
It all points to this much bigger picture.
It does.
This vision of a workplace where people feel valued.
Yes.
Fulfilled.
Yes.
And inspired to do their best work.
That's what it's all about.
And that's what makes Luhmann different.
It is.
They're not interested in just like small improvements here and there.
Right.
They're going for that total transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fundamental shift in the way we think about work, about leadership, and about success.
They're playing the long game.
They are, but we've only just scratched the surface.
Yeah, we have.
Stay tuned for part three, where we go even deeper into Luhmann's approach.
It could be good.
And explore how they create a culture of innovation that really sets their clients apart. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We're wrapping up our exploration of Luhmann's Cultivo framework, and trust me, you don't want to miss this.
No, we're getting to the good stuff.
Remember when we were talking about intellectual and emotional violence?
Yeah, those subtle but like really powerful behaviors.
It's not as dramatic as it sounds. I mean, it's not like, you know, WWE or anything.
Well, not actual violence, but it can really mess up a team.
Right. They can sabotage a team's whole dynamic without us even realizing it.
Exactly. Luhmann's using those terms to like shine a light on those everyday things we do. The things that can make a workplace toxic without us even noticing.
So it's less about like physical altercations, and more about those little digs, you know,
yeah,
the dismissive attitudes, those unspoken expectations.
It's all about that stuff that can make people feel like unsafe or not valued.
Exactly, like they don't belong.
Luhmann defines intellectual violence as like forcing your perspective on someone without any room for discussion.
Right. So like my way or the highway.
Exactly. One person's point of view wins and everyone else feels like they have to just go along with it.
It's like, you know, that boss who's always like, this is how we've always done it. And just like shuts down anyone who suggests something new.
Oh, I know that boss.
It creates like a culture of fear where people are terrified to speak up or like share their ideas, which like kills innovation. Right.
That's exactly what Luhmann is saying. Innovation only happens when you can bring different perspectives to the table, not shut them down or dismiss them.
Right. Everyone's voice matters.
And then you've got emotional violence where you're like putting labels on people based on what you think their intentions are. Oh, like judging them without knowing the whole story.
Exactly. So you're making snap judgments. You're deciding their motives are bad without getting the full picture.
So it's like you assume someone's lazy because they missed a deadline.
Right.
Without like even trying to understand what might have happened.
Maybe they had a family emergency or like a computer meltdown.
Exactly.
You just don't know.
We've all been there, right? Like where you feel misunderstood.
Oh, yeah.
Like unfairly judged.
Oh.
It can really kill your motivation.
And it totally destroys trust within a team.
Oh, for sure.
If you're always worried about being judged or like labeled as something, you're not.
Right.
You're never going to want to take risks or share your ideas or ask for help.
And this kind of reminds me of Luhmann's distinction between guilt and shame.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all connected.
In a shame-based culture, people are just so terrified of being judged or rejected. It's like those knee-jerk reactions, the assumptions, they just happen more often.
It makes sense. In a shame-based culture, everyone's always on edge,
right,
trying to protect themselves from criticism. And that just leads to the exact behavior that Luhmann's calling out.
But in a guilt-based culture, where people feel safe admitting mistakes, taking responsibility, there's less need for all those defenses, right?
Exactly. When you feel secure, supported,
yeah,
you can be open and honest. You can challenge each other respectfully.
It's a totally different vibe.
And you work together to find solutions that actually work for everyone.
It's about building that trust, that understanding.
Yes.
Where people can be themselves and like share their perspectives without being afraid.
I love that. Being your authentic self.
Right. So it's not just about avoiding negative behaviors. It's about creating an environment that actually fosters the good stuff, the positive interactions, the genuine connections.
And that brings us to, I think, one of the most exciting parts of Luhmann's Cultivo framework. Their focus on achieving transformative outcomes.
Ooh, transformative outcomes. Okay, I'm listening. They're not interested in just making little tweaks here and there. They're talking about a complete shift in how teams work and interact.
So big picture stuff.
Big picture, for sure. They're like aiming for radical results.
Okay, I'm all about radical results. What are some of the key elements of their approach? How do they actually do this?
Well, they talk about a few core principles.
Okay.
Like having a future-oriented mindset.
Okay.
Putting joy and fulfillment first.
I like that.
And seeing challenges as like opportunities to grow and innovate.
So it's about looking ahead, finding the fun in the process, and not letting those bumps in the road get you down.
Exactly. And they don't just stop at changing your mindset.
Okay.
They also talk about like aligning everyone's individual goals with the team goals.
Yeah.
Creating that sense of shared purpose.
Right. We're all in this together.
Exactly. And giving people the power to take ownership of their work, you know, and use their talents to the fullest.
It sounds like they're creating a workplace where everyone feels like they're part of something bigger, where their work actually matters. And they have the freedom to do their best.
That's exactly it. Isn't that what we all want, you know?
Yeah.
To feel like we're valued, that we're part of a team, that our work is making a difference.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's like the dream for a lot of people.
It is. And Luhmann's proven that it's possible.
Okay, so how do you get there? How do you go from like a culture of fear and mediocrity to one that's thriving and innovative?
That's where Luhmann's expertise in building a culture of innovation comes in.
Okay, tell me more. How do they do it?
They give you like a roadmap, a clear path for unlocking your team's creative potential and getting those amazing results.
I love a good roadmap. What are some of the like milestones on Luhmann's path to innovation?
They talk about a few key things.
Okay.
First, you got to be open to new ideas.
Right. Be open-minded.
Then you got to encourage people to explore, to experiment, to try new things.
Yeah. Get out of that comfort zone.
You got to have that daring spirit. You got to embrace the unknown.
Ooh, I like that daring.
Right. And finally, you got to create an environment where everyone feels like they can share their ideas.
Like where there are no bad ideas.
Exactly. It's about creating that safe space where people can take risks, challenge the way things have always been done, and share their thoughts without feeling judged.
Yeah, no
That's
judgment.
pure creative energy.
It's like they're saying, forget the fear, let's dive into the unknown and see what amazing things we can create together.
That's it. That's the Lumen way.
This is pretty inspiring.
It is, and it's not just about having a good culture. It's about understanding how that culture directly affects a company's success.
Right. Happy people, productive people.
Exactly. When people feel valued and supported and empowered, they do better work, they're more creative, and ultimately, everyone wins.
It's like they figured out how to make a workplace that's both fulfilling for the people and profitable for the company.
A total win-win.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Lumen's Cultivo framework, we've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
From embracing those mistakes to fostering innovation, from those powerful sales teams to that whole guilt-based culture, they've given us a lot to think about.
A lot to chew on.
And even more to like actually put into practice in our own lives.
That's the goal.
I think the big takeaway here is that Lumen's Cultivo framework, it's not just some like random tips and tricks.
No, it's way more than that.
It's a whole philosophy.
It's a mindset.
It's a way of thinking about work and leadership that challenges everything we thought we knew.
It really makes you question things.
And it gives you a path to creating a truly awesome workplace culture.
So think about it. What's one thing from this deep dive that you can try? Maybe it's embracing a mistake and seeing it as a learning experience, or really listening in your next meeting, or giving someone credit for a great idea.
Even those small things, they can make a big difference.
They can.
We'd love to hear what you're thinking, so share your takeaways on social media. Use hashtag the deep dive so we can find you.
Join the conversation.
And until next time, keep diving deep, keep learning, and keep building those amazing cultures.